Chapter 3. Can we choose our own motives? Our motives are very much the products of our human genetics and environment, and in this sense we cannot choose our own motives. For example, the sensation of hunger is an inborn response, which is triggered when our body needs food. The type of food we attempt to obtain is very much related to the type of food we were exposed to in the past. That is, we learn to like certain foods, which is an environmental factor. We can examine this question even further as follows. Motives can be divided into two categories, primary and secondary. Primary motives are related to inborn responses that are automatically triggered when certain internal and/or external environmental conditions exist. These motives are also called biological motives and are found in all human cultures. Examples of these motives are hunger, thirst, sleepiness, sexual feelings, and desire to urinate or defecate. Our response to cold temperatures triggers a desire to warm up, and our response to warm temperatures triggers a desire to cool off. In addition, emotions can trigger motivations. The experience of fear or anger results in a desire to retreat or attack. All of these motives are activated under appropriate physiological conditions by the lower brain centers located in the hypothalamus and the limbic system. The psychoanalytic analogy to the above brain centers is the id. Note an additional motive that might be primary is an exploratory or curiosity motive. This motivates exploration, learning, and problem solving. Such behavior is seen in animals without any special training. Thus, this motive might truly be an inborn motivation. End of note. The way the primary motives are satisfied can be controlled by the environment. This leads to secondary motivations, which are learned. We may obtain an education to obtain a good job. The job is to obtain money for food and shelter. We might buy a fancy car and expensive clothes to attract a mate. The type of secondary motivations that develops in an individual is determined by environmental and cultural conditions. Thus, it is unlikely that an individual will have exactly the same secondary motivations as another individual. Secondary motives are obviously the result of the higher brain centers. The psychoanalytic analogy to these brain centers is the ego. The way we obtain both primary and secondary motives can be further controlled by the moral and value system of the society in which we live. An obvious example is the values controlling the way sexual gratification can be obtained. The morals and values are obviously learned and the higher brain centers are obviously involved with this process. The psychoanalytic analogy to the relevant brain centers is the superego. Thus, primary motives are determined by biological factors and secondary motives are determined by environmental and sociological factors. And in this sense we cannot choose our own motives, but in a different sense we can. We can sometimes create a motivation if we know how. The unfortunate example of addiction is obvious. Exposure to the addicting substance will cause a desire for the substance. With many drugs, the addiction that develops is essentially a biological motive. The opposite can also happen. An individual who has a strong addiction to cigarettes, alcohol, or drugs can decide to abolish the motivation with appropriate therapy over a period of time. Constant exposure to certain activities over a period of weeks, months, or years can produce motivations under certain conditions. For example, a constant exposure to moderate exercise at approximately the same time each day can, for some people, produce a strong desire to continue the practice. Hypnosis, suggestion, and other types of therapy can be used in certain situations to create secondary motivations. The above can be used to connect pleasant associations to a task. Hypnosis and other types of therapy can also be used to eliminate or reduce unpleasant associations that are related to a task. For example, stage fright can be reduced or eliminated. The above can also be used to make ourselves more aware of the benefits and/or costs of doing or not doing a particular task, such as homework. Thus, increasing or creating a motivation to perform the task. Another way we can choose or at least influence our motivations is by changing our environment. This includes the people we associate with. Our friends and acquaintances, as well as the organizational structure that surrounds us, can influence or change our feelings about engaging in certain activities. For example, if an individual joins an outdoor club, she might develop a motivation for hiking and jogging. This would be more likely to happen if the individual made many friends in the new environment, the outdoor club. If the individual sees her new friends jogging, she is more likely to want to jog. The desire to get involved with the jogging and other activities of the club would be further increased by the conversations with the new friends. A counter-argument to the possibility of choosing our own motives is as follows. If the person started out with no motivation to engage in a given activity, he would never apply the techniques needed to create the motivation. This argument is a weak one, because the motivation needed to apply the technique, such as hypnosis or joining a club, is not the same as the motivation that eventually develops. This is unfortunately also true with addictive substances. For example, a teenager may start smoking to feel grown up and when the acceptance appears. And he may continue smoking throughout life because of the acquired desire for nicotine. The desire for nicotine is a new motivation, which is very different from the original motive, which started the smoking habit.